All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? I get by with a little help from my friends. Yeah, I get high with a little help from my friends. Oh, I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends. Do you?
Why you always gotta be eating when we try to start this show?
I always underestimate how long I have before I have to speak. So I took a bite of the sandwich.
You know, we've done this 79 times prior to today. You should have it down pat at this point.
I missed a few of those.
Okay, so you've done it 74 times, 73, 4 times, something like that. You should still have it down pat by now.
I'd like to address something in the opening.
Okay.
That clip that we play, I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Yes.
I would not refer to them, and I don't think anybody else. I think that's a flaw in that movie that I've only just picked up on now. It's from Free Enterprise, by the way, folks, if you haven't checked it out. Free Enterprise, starring one William Shatner.
That's right.
You should check that out. It's a hysterically funny movie for our people.
Sure.
That said, I would not consider the Migos action figures. I definitely would consider them dolls.
Huh.
They got real cloth clothing. They got real hair. And there were no action figures, because the first time I remember action figures were Star Wars. Right? That's 77.
Sure.
Migos were coming out in the early 70s, even.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to, maybe we, if we have some Migo collectors out there, well, we can ask them what they think.
Let's pitch it out.
What do they think Migos are?
Are Migos action figures, or are Migos dolls that preceded action figures by a few years?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah?
G.I. Joe. What about G.I. Joe, Man of Action?
Doll.
That's a doll to you, too?
I think they were dolls.
I mean, I see the point you're trying to make, but I think you're trying to be controversial.
I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm trying to say that it's because now there is, of course, now there is an Isis action figure.
Sure, it's in the DC Direct line.
In the 52 series, of course. And so I just think that there is definitely a definite distinction between the action figure genre and the doll or character figure genre.
Character figure?
Yes.
Maybe they were calling them action
Posable
figures.
Posable character figure.
Maybe maybe they were calling them action figures. I mean, does the packaging on Amigo say action figure?
Uh-uh. Because I think the term action figures was coined by Kenner because of Star Wars, I think.
And really, that's kind of sad because Kenner Star Wars figures really barely had any action.
They had five complete points of articulation, sir.
They did.
Not even all of them, because the Stormtrooper only had four.
And some of them had the lightsaber that came out of the wrist.
Slid out. Slid out like that.
That was such a lame-looking lightsaber, too.
It had a thick, and then at the end it had a little tiny little...
There was a tab.
It wasn't a tab. It was intended to be there, so it was... I think the original point of it was that it was supposed to come to, like, a point.
Yeah, yeah. It was a thin, long piece,
and then a little tiny,
and then
thin
a tab coming out where you'd slide it in.
Oh, no. I mean the other end. I mean
the other end
of the saber. They had a little,
it was
yeah,
pointed,
the tab that
like
you could slide it. Yeah.
Concept sabers were kind of pointed and not round and
right. But what I'm saying is that the lightsaber, it had the part that you slid out of the arm. So Fantastic said there was a tab. Okay,
right.
So that's one end. The tab was
in his wrist.
Right, up here in his Wolverine area here.
Yeah.
And you slid that forward. That part that you're sliding forward, that's part that you were signing, the part that you were sliding forward
Bravo,
was
sir.
a, like a
hilt.
Tube.
The hilt.
Like the blade.
It was the blade.
The hilt was in his hand.
The hilt was actually permanently sculpted into his
hand. I'm talking
about
the piece that was the blade, the yellow piece of plastic that was the blade. Okay, so it has, so it's like a little tube. Like if you think of it large, like human size, it would be like an inch and a half, 2-inch dowel.
Okay.
Right, which they're sliding forward. On the end of the dowel, the opposite end from the tab, there was a little, like another, like let's say a quarter inch dowel sticking out about a quarter of an inch at the end of all of them.
I don't remember that.
Like I'll a little, like an antenna?
Like a little antenna. Yeah, that's very good. It's like the lightsaber had a little antenna on the end.
Trying to get a signal.
And I don't know why they did that though. Maybe because they thought it looked like you came to a point or something.
I just remember all of mine being like disturbingly warped or bent. You know,
yeah,
like kind of like you put it in his hand, it would just droop downwards because that was the way it was permanently bent.
It was like a sabotar, like a scimitar saber combination.
Jesus,
you have some news?
I always have some news. This week, it just happens to be not a lot.
I'm sorry if I'm a little jittery today. I had a
harrowing experience.
I know. We'll talk about it in the second segment.
All right. So this was not, or this past couple of week or so has not been a good week for Superman, the film. Franchise.
Yay!
Exactly. So it looks like the original writer, but actually maybe this is good news now that I think about it. The writers who penned Superman Returns are not going to be returning for the follow-up.
Good.
Bryan Singer is quote unquote busy and has a bunch of other projects that he is considering prior to the Superman follow-up.
Good.
Now, these are all being caused by this pending strike that we keep hearing about. All these actors, directors want to get in as much work as they can before the strike. And these strikes never actually really hurt anything too much. But wasn't there another one of these, like, on the horizon, like, 5 or 6 years ago, where, like, you would see an entire summer of movies with, like, Owen Wilson? He had done, like, 15 movies, like one after another, and they got them all out because of this pending strike and then nothing?
I don't remember.
Well, I do know you're right. There was one summer where he was like in every movie.
In every movie.
He had like 6 or 7 movies.
Yeah.
Well, so, he probably had to use some chemicals to keep him going through all that.
I'm sure.
That's why he blew up.
Exactly. In addition to that, in addition to Bryan Singer not doing it, in addition to the original writers not doing it, the rumor was that Warner Brothers was courting Mark Millar to write the Superman sequel. Mark Millar had come out, was very excited about it. He had some stuff down on paper that he had been working on and was eager to see get made into the movie. And then Warner Brothers was like, yeah, we can't use you because of your contract with Marvel.
Good. Good. So Marvel fucks Millar. Good.
Yeah. Well, no, it's... Yeah, I mean, I guess Warner felt that it was some sort of competitive issue, and that as long as he had an existing contract with Marvel,
he signed exclusive to Marvel,
it would be ill will to use him in a Warner Brothers film. Although I'm sure that he probably can get around it for film, because I think the contract he has with Marvel is for books. I don't know that it extends to film.
Hey, I love Warner Brothers right now, and here's why: because they're basically like, hey, yeah, Mark, you want to write Superman movie? Yeah, sure. Why don't you get all excited about it and get your ideas together? And then as soon as they got to the peak of the excitement and the ideas, they were like, fuck you. Fuck your exclusive contract with Marvel. Go fuck yourself. That's what happened there.
I don't know.
And I hope Millar is crying in his tea right now somewhere.
That's terrible.
No, it isn't terrible. Fucking exclusive contracting. It's stupid.
It is what it is, sir. It's the industry.
I'm just saying.
It's the way the industry is going.
Good. I'm glad for Warner Brothers. And that's not an I hate Marvel thing. That's an I hate exclusive contract thing.
Okay.
Okay? Can we be clear about that?
Sure.
Or we start, you hate Marvel. I don't hate Marvel. I hate some people at Marvel and the way it's run by those people. And that's all I'm going to say.
It's not just Marvel, though, and it's not just the comic industry. EA has the exclusive NFL license.
Sure.
From the NFL, and they'll have it for the next as many years as you can think of.
Well, look, Sony had an exclusive Squaresoft license for a really long time, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know if that was they actually had an exclusive license or there was some kind of understanding or something. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you are right about that.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Thanks.
for that.
I used to love that thing.
In addition to Mark Millar and Bryan Singer and the writers and all this other stuff surrounding the Superman movie and how it's hurting it, of course, there is all these talks about how the Justice League movie, which is further along in the creative process, is hindering the Superman movie as well. Obviously, Superman being a major character in the Justice League. So that Justice League movie just shitting all over the DC universe. Still not convinced that it's a good idea. Still not convinced that it's the right way to go. But it looks like they're pushing forward and pushing forward hard. So there it is. What do you got, Kev?
Kelly Jones, who is an interesting Batman artist, has an interesting take on the character. He's the one that does a lot of long sort of pointy ears and some elongated. There's actually here in the studio one of the Batman black and whites in the is actually a I'm pretty sure is a Kelly Jones.
Yeah, I think one of the early ones, wasn't it?
I think so. And he has two upcoming Batman projects, which you should be very excited about. One is going to reunite him with Cal McDonald, and the book is going to be called Gotham After Midnight, which right now they're talking about it probably running like 12 issues, like a long Halloween kind of series.
Right.
But with Kelly Jones and Cal McDonald, obviously, instead of Sale and Loeb. And he's also going to do a project with Doug Munch.
Okay.
But they haven't said exactly what that story is going to be yet or when it's going to happen. But it's always exciting when an artist who's slightly off the beaten path of, say, the norm, like Kelly Jones, is getting work in a mainstream book, because you got to mix it up once in a while. You know what I mean? They got to keep it fresh. And I think by putting in some of these artists whose style is a little outside of the safe zone, if you will.
Okay.
I think that kind of works. He did that Batman vampire book, I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Crimson Mist, I think it was. Yeah.
Is that what it was? I'd have to look. But it's, and it's very exciting that, yeah, I'm a fan. I wish I'd like to meet him at a show sometime.
Okay.
And get a sketch.
I'm sure. For the sketchbook. So we know what's going on in the DC universe as far as films are concerned.
Right.
But there is some rumors that are starting to circulate back in the Marvel universe.
That the Iron Man movie might be good?
Hey, I think the Iron Man movie is going to be real good. But
see, you're setting yourself up, sir.
I know. But since you brought up the Iron Man movie, apparently the director who was originally attached to do the Iron Man movie before Jon Favreau got on board, Nick Cassavetes, who directed The Notebook. If you want to know something about him. Apparently, he is the person that they're in talks with right now to do a Captain America movie. I guess after they gave Iron Man away, maybe they brought him back to consider doing
that. Well, again, it's another one they did in the 90s, and they were too embarrassed to release it.
Oh, sure. It's like that FF movie that never quite made it very far.
The Roger Corman FF
movie?
Exactly. What about the Dolph Lundgren Punisher?
Yeah, but that actually got released. So.
Yeah, it sure did.
So there it is. There's the beginning of the Captain America rumor mill.
I hope it's an origin story, which would make it a period piece, which would be good. If it was, seriously, if the first movie was Cap in World War II, and they did it like Saving Private Ryan, but with Captain America in it, that would be awesome. I just know they're not going to do that.
I think you're hoping for too much, too. That would be too good. That would be like the opening of the first Ultimates. I don't know if you remember that, but the Ultimates book number one starts with that storyline, and they take it a couple pages.
Right.
But a whole movie about that would be really cool, and is never going to happen.
Never ever. Maybe animated, but never live action.
And they set up the Red Skull as kind of the Nazi version of Cap, and whatever happens to Cap, whatever. I think the first thing should end with him like falling off of that plane, and Bucky dying. Bucky should be in it.
And just get killed?
And just get killed. Right, just flat out shot and dead.
Like early on in the film?
It doesn't have to be early. No, you got to build him up. So then when you shoot him, all the fans are like, yes! Right? That said, Cap should fall off the plane into the icy water, and it should be all like the water should be all calm, and then like some iceberg should just float up with Cap in it, and that should be the end of the film. I could make this movie. Get Cassavetes on the phone. Fantastic. I have ideas.
You're going to write for him?
Yeah, I have ideas. I know I know what will make this film a success, and that is not bringing Cap into the modern world in the first movie. That's what will make it a
According
success.
According to IMDb, your competition in writing is Jack Kirby.
Well, that means they're going to use the Kirby origin story. Yeah. All right, so that's good.
So that's good. So let's see.
And I think I can outwrite a dead guy. So
we hope.
Just saying.
We hope. So Ron Howard and Tom Hanks are moving forward quickly on Angels and Demons.
Cool.
The novelization of the prequel to The Da Vinci Code. Although from what I'm reading, they're not going to treat it as a prequel. They're going to treat it as a sequel. So I'm not quite sure how that works. I mean,
does one, but it doesn't depend on Da Vinci Code.
It doesn't.
Or vice versa. Da Vinci Code didn't depend on Angels and Demons.
I don't believe so, but the character definitely was a younger, less experienced character in Angels and Demons. So they could make it work. It's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. Why they would choose to do it, maybe because they know they can't make Tom Hanks look younger without being creepy. I don't know.
You know why these movies do well?
Why?
It's because 43 to 48% of the population believes that the revelation, the apocalypse, is going to occur within their lifetime.
Okay.
I thought he was going to say these movies work because there's so many Christians in the world who want to get their hate on at the movies.
Well, speaking of Christians getting their hate on at the movies, why don't we talk about Professor Dumbledore? We haven't talked about that
yet. Let's do it.
Exactly.
I love him. He's so stylish.
So what do you guys think about all of that? For those of you who may or may not know, Dumbledore is gay. Let's get that out.
J.K. Rowling was doing a reading, and correct, she took questions from fans, and one of the fans asked if Dumbledore was gay.
Right.
Or something along the lines. To which her answer was Dumbledore was gay.
Right.
Well, her answer was that she always pictured Dumbledore as somebody who believed in unconditional love. And I don't think that she said the word gay in that response.
No,
but
she
then,
did.
I'm not so sure about that. But I know that she did admit later when somebody said, so that means gay, she basically said yes to that question. So, yeah, she did say that. She didn't say, like, yeah, the guy's clearly homo or something like that.
Well, you saw the way he looked.
She's got
Harry.
More tact. Well,
why?
With some unconditional love.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of gayness going on in that and in Lord of the Rings, but not necessarily gay, homo, love, gay, but unconditional love, gay.
Right. But what do you think about
it? I'm glad to be here with you, Samwise Gamgee.
It kind of pisses me off, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
Because I don't think it was a necessary revelation at this point in time. I think that if she was going to actually talk about it in the book or make it an aspect of the story, it would have been appropriate. Look, I don't care that he's gay. It has no effect on me or my love for the books. I still love the books.
It does for me.
But I just think that her choosing to do it now, I don't know. It seems kind of
silly to
me. It seems kind of controversial for the sake of controversy.
I think it's leading into her next series of books.
Oh, what's that
she's doing. Well, I heard. Now, this is a very new rumor. And I don't want to say, you know, I don't
started
think I can
by
quote,
Big Kev.
I don't want to quote sources or anything, but I do hear that the next book may, in fact, have the title Albus Dumbledore and the Sorcerer's Stones. I'm just saying, I heard something. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to confirm or deny.
She did say something stupid after that. She said, well, now the, you know, fan fiction writers will have some fodder to play with or something like that. I'd like to see what they do.
She's catering to these people, I think.
Well, it's not like she doesn't have merchandising to ride on, so.
I don't know. I think it's controversial for the sake of being controversial. I think that if it was that important to the character that she felt like talking about it now, it could have been addressed in the book.
Nope, I disagree totally. Those are kids' books. Sure, you're 40 and you read it, but those books were intended for kids.
Yeah, but she talks about the reason why it's acceptable in the course of her books is because the books are about intolerance. So she could have addressed it. She could have addressed it in the seventh book.
Intolerance as a broad spectrum subject is one thing. Focusing it down to the gay population is an adult topic.
She could have addressed it in the seventh book.
I don't agree.
Yeah, children's books. They are. I've been reading them, remember?
Right.
Actually listening to them because I got no goddamn time to read them. But I listened to them in the car on the way to work and the way back, and I've gotten to the fourth book so far. I'm on chapter like 25 or something.
Got them on BitTorrent, didn't you?
No. And I bought them for $79 each because that makes sense. So anyway, yeah, they are children's books, but the books grow up, and I would argue they probably grow up a little bit faster than the kids reading them at the time.
Correct.
Would. I mean, I know that they're supposed to grow up maybe at the same time.
Okay.
But
now I'm gonna put the brakes on right there.
There is a lot of talk of what leads to like love and sex and flirting and this kind of stuff, but not, and it's not necessary that they go to homosexuality, I don't think.
The books grow up within the context of the series, but now all the books are out. So now a new reader who's 11 years old, who wants to sit down and say, all right, now I am going to sit down and I'm going to read these Harry Potter books. That kid is not going to have 7 years to grow up with these books so that when the seventh book comes out and they're talking about this, that, and the other thing, that he is... he or she is ready for that kind of, and I'm not saying ready like they can't handle it, but it's what is considered, I guess, by many, maybe not me, maybe not us in this room, but considered by many as reasonable material for a children's book.
Okay, so now what's the difference now that she's made it public and she's announced it to public? For an 11-year-old who's reading it, who now knows going into that book that the character is gay.
Because.
Whether it is or whatever it is. Personally, she should have never said anything. She should have left it ambiguous like she did in the writing. The writing was intended to be ambiguous, and it was. Why address it now? Because now, no matter who's in an 8-year-old who's reading it, may or may not know or
right,
have heard.
Exactly. May or may not know.
Yeah, but Harry Potter fans are rabid fans.
Talking about new fans. We're talking about new readers.
Let's say, so a 10-year-old reads it and now knows that he's gay. Does that stop him from reading it? Maybe a parent won't let him read it now. She should have left it ambiguous. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
If the kid's young enough and he just picks up the first book for the first time, say he's like 8 or 9 or however old he is, and he starts reading, and what is he going to know that J.K. Rowling said that Dumbledore is gay? He's going to hear that his friend told him, or his older friend told him, whatever, and he's going to read through, and say he reads through every one of the books. He's going to either decide for himself that, you know, Dumbledore, there's evidence of Dumbledore being gay or not. And it's not necessarily going to add much to it. It's going to be like an urban myth for him. But if it's somebody like you, somebody who's over 20, 25, 30, and they're going back and they read the book, yeah, maybe it does add a little bit something, and maybe you can read the books now thinking Dumbledore is gay and have a completely different take on it.
All right.
Just saying.
We'll agree to disagree.
I don't think three guys have ever been so excited over Dumbledore being gay.
I like his wand.
Do you?
You got to cut that out when we use that. I like his wand.
I like his wand.
All right. Do you have anything else? Because I have one more thing at least.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, seriously, you go.
All right. So, I guess this was first announced back in April. The Voodoo. Do you know about this?
Who
that you do?
It's a 250-gigabyte hard drive with an Ethernet port that is for your television that is supposed to store and have movies on it. Have you heard about this? That's going to market now or shortly thereafter?
I knew about it.
They're going to be selling it for like $400 or $500. It's going to come with a bunch of content already on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be pretty much like a digital movie library.
How does it hook up to your television? It says over Ethernet?
It has an Ethernet port. So I'm guessing if you have a wireless connection in your house, you probably can download new content to it.
Yeah.
As far as how it hooks up.
I get what you're getting at. So it probably has some kind of audio video hookups on it, either HDMI or component that you plug into your TV.
HDMI,
and then
I believe.
Something else. It has another port on an Ethernet port that plugs into your home network that you can put stuff on it. It's not really revolutionary.
No, it's not revolutionary, but it is kind of a next step in digital movie libraries versus actual DVD libraries. I think because it makes it more accessible to more people.
Does it say who makes this thing? Is it a? Because there's a couple products out there now already, like say the ITV, or the Apple TV, as it's called now. And, you know, you can always use your Windows Media Center TV for a similar purpose if you hook up a computer to your television. In my case, I have a modded Xbox hooked up to the TV.
Okay.
And I use that as a bridge. And there's a couple different things you can do for that. But I think the point that you're getting at is absolutely right, is that I have maybe 20 DVDs in my collection, 20 to 25. And the ones that I watch the most, I keep on disc. New stuff I download, I put on a computer or a hard drive somewhere on the network.
Right.
And I access everything from that one device, that one set-top device, in this case happens to be the Xbox. And it's way better than having to manage a room full of discs. And I'm pointing towards the library right now.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, if you had all that stuff that you have in that room, which literally, ladies and gentlemen, is a wall lined with DVDs.
Right.
Now, no, you couldn't fit it on, say, this computer here.
Oh, sure.
You'd need a lot of storage. But if you could take a fraction of that, the movies that you watch, say, often, or you know, you had a steady stream of stuff coming through and sitting on the computer for a short time, you watch it and then you delete it, it's really convenient. It's really, you know, it's great. You don't have to get up and swap discs. If you download stuff from your computer, you can just throw it on there and watch it at a later date.
Right.
Plus, you get to watch it on your big screen rather than your computer monitor. And with 5.1 sound, if you get the one that's decoded for that.
I'm wondering what this is going to do to illegal movie downloads. Is there going to be a huge,
give them a nice big box to put them in?
And how... And people using them or people watching them. Well, I mean, I know it's pretty intense right now.
Well, let's ask the expert. Fantastic.
No, okay, for the record, I do not, and this is absolutely serious, I do not download illegal movies. Because I just think that the punishment for doing so is so unjust and so out of the ordinary. And I'm so not interested in movies that come out these days.
Right.
And most of the stuff that I watch is stuff that you can't get or stuff that I would borrow from you. And rather than keep that DVD, I put it on this thing and watch it at my leisure. It's no different than me, you know, borrowing the disc for an extended amount of time. And most of the times I delete it afterwards. It's just these companies and their take and, you know, the technology they put in place to make this hard for you.
Right.
Really, it's these boxes coming to market will make the act of, you know, watching TV over your network from a computer more legitimate, I think. And that's about it.
Okay.
But it's way more convenient than having the discs. It's easier to get HD content because right now you need that HD DVD or Blu-ray player. You can always download HD content from the net. You can go to Apple trailers, and this is one thing that I watched too. And I'm not sure if you came over, but I watched the Iron Man trailer in HD on my TV through the modded Xbox by hitting against the Apple QuickTime server. And where else could I get that? I couldn't watch that in HD. I could watch it on my computer.
Right.
But there's no, that doesn't come on a disc. There's nowhere else you can get that.
Right.
It's only over the internet on your TV.
Why don't we move on with the news? What do we have that came out on DVD this week?
DVD. In order of importance or relevance?
Yes. Doesn't matter to me.
I'm going
to
do importance then. Okay. Stanley Kubrick.
The box set.
This is actually the Warner Home Video Director Series Stanley Kubrick box set.
Contains 4 films or 5 films?
It contains 5 of his feature films and Stanley Kubrick, A Life in Pictures, the documentary about Stanley Kubrick.
Right. So it's got Clockwork Orange.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Right.
Clockwork Orange.
Uh-huh.
The Shining.
Uh-huh.
Full Metal Jacket.
Uh-huh.
And Eyes Wide Shut.
Uh-huh.
So 4 really good movies and Eyes Wide Shut. and these are all 2-disc special editions with new content and blah, 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 on and on and on. I think what's most important about this, A, of course, is that they're all 2-disc with tons of special features.
Right.
Because certainly everyone listening to this show should have at least 3 of these movies in their collection.
Sure.
From the get-go. 2001 A Space Odyssey, Clockwork Orange, and The Shining are just cornerstones in I think, geek genre films.
But I hate Clockwork Orange, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, you hate everything. But also more important, going on to the 4th important film on here, is that Full Metal Jacket presented in widescreen.
That's important.
That is important because it was not presented in widescreen in the last box set for some unbeknownst reason.
Right.
So that's very important. And of course, like any box set that you get that has a lot of stuff in it that you want, of course, there's always going to be one film that you have to have that nobody gives a shit about.
It's a means of moving copies of that movie.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And that's Eyes Wide Shut.
Right.
Eyes Wide what?
Eyes Wide Shut. Although, to be fair, it is the first time in North America that the uncensored international version of the film has been available. So there's probably a lot more graphic sex in the version in the Warner Brothers Director's Series box set, Stanley Kubrick box set.
There you go.
So there could be some worthwhile content on there. I mean, that you could scan to, perhaps, because sitting through it is
you can
retarded.
Go to, what's that website? Mr. Skin.
And
look it up.
Yes. The bonus disc, Stanley Kubrick, A Life in Pictures, is the documentary that was narrated by Tom Cruise. It is a fantastic documentary. Fantastic documentary about this filmmaker.
Stop saying that.
What?
Every time you say that, it makes my heart jump, and I think I have to pay attention. I have to wake up.
Oh, when I say fantastic, you mean? Well, it is.
It just makes my heart jump.
All right, what else?
Meet the Robinsons.
Disney flick.
This is a Disney... Was this Pixar?
It was not Pixar. It is the second Disney CGI flick.
That was not Pixar.
In the Disney-Pixar separation. Chicken Little, of course, being the first.
Chicken Little was awesome. I did not see this one, and from what I'm gathering, most people did not see this one. But I picked it up because I think it looks really good. The design is really nice, sure. And I hear it's funny. So that's enough for me.
Sure.
To pick it up. Did you see this one?
I haven't seen it yet, but it
there's
is
a Disney film that you haven't seen.
I know. It's crazy.
Aren't you going to Disney like
I am
tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
You know there's gonna be like a lot of Meet the Robinsons stuff going on down there because
okay.
It's the newest release.
It's all right. I'll see it eventually. You know, I've ordered it, so it'll show up eventually.
You know, the figures are on sale for $3 at this.
Yeah, I know, but I don't really want them.
I don't. They didn't have a complete set. They didn't have the robot guy. Anyway, moving on.
Thank God.
Aquaman.
Yes. Why did they put this out?
Can you show me that?
The Adventures of Aquaman.
The
complete collection.
That looks happy.
I'd like to say he's writing Storm on the cover.
He is writing Storm, that's true. And he is not purple, so.
Yes. This is the, I guess this is the complete Aquaman cartoon series. I think this was from the 60s.
Was it the 60s or was it the early 70s? I thought it was like 72 or 73.
Fantastic.
Something like
that. Maybe you can look that up while we're talking about this.
Who's produced this? Is this a Hanna-Barbera?
No, it's Warner Brothers.
It was Warner Brothers.
I don't think it was Hanna-Barbera. No, Hanna-Barbera did
everything
maybe
else.
Hanna-Barbera did produce this one. I don't recall.
So I believe this to be the 1968 Aquaman's half of the Superman/Aquaman Hour of Adventure, as it's labeled on IMDb.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't say anything about who's produced or distributing it now, but it says director Hal Sutherland and writer George Kasdan.
Okay.
And in the wisdom of Jay Groban 83, who is a user on IMDb, he says that Aquaman needs his own movie. Who's with me? With an exclamation point. That's yeah. Jay Groban 83.
Answer, nobody. This is 36 cartoons on two discs. If you like Aquaman, you're picking it up. It's got all the Aquaman foes you know and love in it.
Isn't Jay Groban a singer?
What else you got
Josh
there,
Josh Groban? Isn't that Josh Groban? Yeah. The Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians, 10 episodes on two discs. If I'm not mistaken, this is absolutely the last version of the Super Friends that was on TV.
Okay.
The very last stuff, because it contains Cyborg
from
the Teen Titans, and I'm pretty sure he was in the last series right around the time they were putting out the Superpowers action figures. Because they did Cyborg in that line.
Okay. So there you go.
10 cartoons, 10 episodes on two discs. It's got special features, got all your favorite characters. Notable standout here, Adam West as Batman with Casey Kasem as Robin.
Wow, there you go.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And Frank Welker as Darkseid.
Nice.
Isn't Frank Welker, don't we know?
He's the original Megatron.
That's what it was. And he's doing Darkseid. So that is out this week as well. There it is. DVDs of the week.
Excellent. And I think that's going to wrap up our news segment, no?
Want to give a quick plug for a book from Image called Proof. If you believe in monsters, you need proof, it's called.
Okay.
Alexander Gretschian, Riley Rossimo, and Tyler Jenkins. It's the first issue. It's out now. I'm sure your better comic book stores will have it. It's from Image. It's really, really good.
Okay.
Really good.
Maybe I'll check it out.
You should check it out.
All right.
Once in a while, you should check out something. I would suggest.
I do check out some stuff once in a while.
Instead of just reading it, watching that Robin from Sherwood from England business you watch.
God forbid you should check out something I watch.
BBC. Big bad crap. And I think we should take this time to say thank you to everybody who wrote in for our Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Right, we've given away all the. Hopefully, we're going to be getting some more stuff from WizKids
sure.
to be given away, and a bunch of other fantastic. Did you have some contest announcement?
Something? We're going to have some stuff coming up, courtesy of the Nerd World Order at nerdsrule.com with a Z.
Okay, and of course, we should mention we have to mention our sponsor, Alpha Graphics of Montclair, weprintfast.com. We are giving away an iPod, and I think it closes the end of next week. I don't know what the date is, but okay. I'm sure it's the end. We'll have the date by the end of the show, fantastic, so we can tell the people. You want to go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You want to click on the banner, fill out the information, and enter to win an iPod that we are giving away.
Right.
It is a fantastic giveaway. We thank Alpha Graphics of Montclair very much.
We do.
All types of printing, all types of places. You print it, they print it, they send it wherever you are, anywhere in the world.
Right.
Attention Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
I'm your number one fan.
Go ahead.
I gotta do it. I'm scared.
Don't be scared. It's okay.
We're about to delve into a very traumatic experience.
Well, that's
me.
Why you have to go with this, babe. Because I don't know, man.
All right, we're back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 80. We should say the title is Misery.
Ooh.
I'm your number one fan.
Spooky.
Well, look. A very traumatic experience for me.
It just breaks my heart to see you like this.
Okay.
Not unlike the Misery story.
I'm your number one fan.
Okay.
So,
your legs broken between two cinder blocks?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes.
Oh, there you go.
This past weekend, I was in Albany.
Okay. Well, that's your own fault.
I was hanging.
That's not the traumatic part?
That's although Albany, not what you'd call a hot spot.
Oh, I liked parts. I like Albany.
It was beautiful. All fall foliage, yeah. All that jazz. Was up there and was staying with some friends up there. Mariah, Tim, and Brian.
Okay.
Fans of the show. Big fans of the show.
Well, there you go.
Having me and Liz stay at their place there. And it's very nice, and they're very warm and loving and accommodating people.
Well, that's good.
And we had a nice time. We got some Honeycrisp apples.
There you go.
Which are delicious, fantastic. You should try one. And but then something bad happened.
Okay.
Mysteriously.
Uh-oh.
They have been saying, I've talked to them in the past, and we've, you know, spoken about different topics. And one topic that we always seem to come back to with Mariah, Tim, and Brian up there in Albany is topic of World of Warcraft.
Ah, old WoW.
And they are like, oh, you should try, and it's so much fun. And I'm just like, and I always kind of I bring up Star Wars, and this time, of course, I brought up Star Wars, and I was like, well, we tried, we tried, but it's just not happening. And so I don't know what happened there. It was some sort of confusion happened, and I was inside, and some people were outside and inside, and people were coming and going, and we were eating, and then we had gone shopping, and we did this, and it was very confusing. And all of a sudden, go to run my car, and the engine blew up.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah. A spark plug came loose in my PT Cruiser Turbo Edition.
He didn't get out of the Costa Duty car!
And ripped its way out of the head of the engine.
Also bad.
Yeah, very bad. So we had to send Liz home by train.
Okay.
Conveniently enough, the three of them were more than happy to have me stay.
I'm your number one fan.
Okay.
With them, while this mysterious thing, never had a problem with this car before, 70,000 miles on it.
The Costa Duty car!
Never had a problem. Mysteriously, a spark plug comes loose.
Okay.
So we have the car towed over to the dealership, and now we're waiting to hear, and the dealership says, oh, it's going to take a couple of days.
You're just another lying old dirty birdie.
That's rough.
Took almost 5 days.
That's really rough.
So, of course, when, you know, after, you know, we got back from the dealer and so on and so forth, knew we were going to be there for a couple of days, knew that I was going to be there for a couple of days. You know, almost too conveniently, they said, well, hey, why don't you give World of Warcraft a try?
Dangerous ground, sir.
What was I going to do? I was resist. Trapped in Albany, and not even in Albany. It was kind of like
the outskirts,
slide on the edge there. Yeah, and I was there with these people who are very nice and very accommodating, and you know, it's kind of like they're just kind of like, oh, look, you see, we're playing. Look, we're playing. Isn't it fun looking? And it's brightly colored, and
so
you know,
played.
I played.
I'm your number one fan.
Traitor.
For 5 days.
Traitor.
Almost straight.
And a weakling, you gave in.
They made me do it.
Well, how was it? Be honest. Be honest. Okay. I want to know.
I don't know whether it's because I am so sorely disappointed with Star Wars Galaxies.
Okay.
I don't think I better be around you for a while.
Or, and that I just want to have something that I can continue playing over a long period of time, like an MMORPG, FQLMLY. But,
okay.
I had fun playing the game.
Wow. Look at you, all giving in and whatnot.
I'm not. I didn't want to like it.
It just breaks my heart to see you like this.
I didn't want to like it.
You wanted to like it.
I didn't. And if the three of them were here, I did not want to like it.
But
all
you
right,
played
so
for
I,
5 days.
I played, yeah. Now you don't know. Now you don't know kind of pretty much anything about this, right?
Not at all, sir.
And where did Fantastic go?
Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Is he in the library picking out stuff that he can put on his thing? And
yes, I was.
Fantastic. Do you know about? Do you know anything about the Warcraft? World of Warcraft?
I know what it is. I haven't played myself.
Okay, so I have a character. Okay, so apparently there's been a couple of extensions. I don't know what the
expansions. Yes.
Right. They're on one now. So the Burning Crusade or something. Hmm. Right. And apparently this alien race has crash landed on this planet. Okay. Called the I don't remember what they're called.
The name of the race?
Yeah.
I don't know either. I haven't played it.
Maybe you can look it up.
Ah.
So while Fantastic look up the name of it. So it's kind of like this big demon-y looking dude, and he's got hoof feet.
Okay.
Kinda, and a tail. Right? Okay. And I said, okay, this is the most out of the way kind of race that I can play.
All right.
You know what he kind of reminded me of? Caliban from Clash of the Titans.
Okay, okay. Okay. I'm there.
Except he was blue.
Okay.
My dude was blue. Like, and you know, you can, there is a minimal amount of sort of customization you can
right.
do. Not like Star Wars where you could do like a right, ton right. of it. There's a minimal amount of it. So I customized a little and I named him Blue Devil. With,
of course you did.
With two L's.
Of course you did.
And he was blue. And he had horns right here, and you know it was cool. I made him a hunter class,
okay,
character who also does mining and engineering.
All right,
was he one of the Draenei or something like that?
Draenei. I think it's Draenei.
Yeah, I see that. And it looks like that expansion also brought on the Blood Elves.
The Blood Elves, yes, which are the they're kind of bad too. They're kind of the opposites. Apparently, there's two sides to this conflict. There's the
Draenei.
It's like the good side and the bad side.
Right.
I can't remember what the two
this
sides
This makes
are
me want to laugh because this has been around for years and people love it. And granted, I haven't played it, but you're acting like you've just crash landed on the World of Warcraft.
Warcraft.
Hey, my car mysteriously explodes. And I'm trapped in a World of Warcraft house. Everyone in the house play World of Warcraft, and they play it a lot.
Okay.
All right. Is it a coincidence? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I had a lot of fun playing it. I'll tell you, let's talk about it versus something like Star Wars, which is what I'm most familiar with, and why I was so resistant to play World of Warcraft.
Okay.
World of Warcraft is very mission-driven.
Right.
Right? One mission kind of leads you to an area where you meet new people and you get new missions who kind of, and it kind of goes that way. Right? There's not a lot of
free roaming. Kind of,
well, there, no, because you can go pretty much anywhere except you go into levels or places where the levels of the creatures is just like, they'll swamp your ass. You just gotta like run and hope you make it through kind of thing.
Right.
Of course, I took Hunter. You know why I took Hunter? Because you get a pet.
Of course.
So I have a big polar bear.
Okay.
Pet, like this really, like a rare pet thing, too. And I built, I left, I was 16th level when I left.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, 16th level. Had a pet, was mining, doing engineering. I was making dynamite. I mean, it was good. I was really having a lot of fun. So let's get back to the analogy. So. It's not quite as free roaming around doing whatever you want to do, but you can do that.
Right.
There's not areas in Star Wars per se, although towards the end there was the planets, you know, as they were coming out. Remember, they were kind of...
Don't go to Lock.
Right, exactly. Like, don't go to Lock. There'd be like sections in World of Warcraft. It's like, don't go to this section.
Right.
That kind of thing. Okay. So, I kind of was taken aback a little by that aspect of it, but that said... You have a fully rendered place.
Right.
The world that they play in is a fully rendered place.
Right.
And it's very stylized. So you have very much a World of Warcraft style in the graphics and the design of the buildings and the
sure.
the little things that are moving around. You know, the whole yeah. kind of world. Very stylized, but not terrible. Little cartoony, little block, blocky's the right word, little kind of SD, you know
right.
what I mean? But not terrible.
It's kind of like Games Workshop with the addition of low polygon graphics, but there's a reason for it. It's so that the game is accessible to more people and more people can play on lower performing computers.
Right. It looked to me like, yeah, exactly like Fantastic Set, but they don't really scrimp on anything.
It's still beautiful.
Yeah, and like there's lots of another thing about Star Wars, it's rich. Good, very well put. And here's how I'll qualify that. In Star Wars, when you go into a city, there may be things that had like occasional like blinking lights, and occasionally you would find something in a city or something that was like moving. You know what I mean? Like some like piece of machinery that looked like it was moving. But generally speaking, like in the majority of Star Wars, like you had things that were like mining and things like that were just kind of just sitting there, and as they hummed as you walked by, knowing they were operating. In World of Warcraft, I was in a city. I was in tons of them, but I was in the one called Stormwind, which is kind of like I guess that's the big human city.
Okay.
And there's like gears and these big machineries, and they're all moving around and doing stuff. Yeah. And little things are blowing in the wind, and there's water effects, and there was all sorts of stuff, and it was really well rendered. It looks really nice once you get used to it. You know what I mean?
It sounds like it's a very immersive environment compared to something that could have been more static like it was in Galaxies.
Right, right. So that said, I had a really good time because once I adapted myself to that environment, I said, okay, well, let's see what this has to offer. And then you have all these different features. They have bars, you go and buy drinks, and you kill things, and there's, like any other game, you kill and you get sometimes something from. So you go kill a boar. Let's use the South Park as an example. You go kill a boar, you maybe get meat from the boar, which you can then take to, they have, in World of Warcraft, one thing I like, they have a trader guy kind of, you know, in most settlements or areas, or they have a guy who will buy all the shit that you don't want.
Okay.
So think junk dealer, but he'll actually buy all the shit that
he'll
you don't
buy
want.
Everything.
And he'll give you, like, good money.
Right.
Right? Like, decent money. Right? They also have very specific, like a guy who sells like all bows and arrows and that anything you might need, quiver, like all that stuff. And then there's guys who are general who sell kind of a Olsen's mercantile, if you will, Little House reference, of stuff where you can get kind of this eggs and food and arrows and things. And that was really cool. Because it's Halloween, they have this All Hallows End Eve Hallows thing going on. So throughout the cities and things like that, there are Halloween decorations.
Mm-hmm.
Like pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns. And you can go to the tavern and go up to the tavern keeper and you can trick-or-treat him. Right?
Okay.
And you get a little something from him and you open it up. And it's either a trick or a treat. You might get like candy bars that like power you up, or you might get one thing you can get that I have is you get a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mask of like a, you get like a blood elf mask or like a undead mask or stuff like that, and then you put it on, you wear a mask, and it goes for like a week or whatever for the mask. There are other things like tricks, though, where they turn you into, and if you're looking at your iPod right now, you're going to see a series of them coming up because I got a whole bunch of them. I was this big Draenei, it's like humongous thing. I got turned into a gnome pirate.
Okay.
Right? A little tiny gnome pirate for a while. I was an undead pirate for a while. I was a ninja. Like a Warcraft equivalent ninja costume for a while. And these last for like several hours. What I liked about the gameplay is you have action bars, you know, where you can put the things that you can do.
Right.
And then you just click on it or press the equivalent number if it's in that bar. And you can do these things. What I like about it also is that in the upper right-hand corner, where, like, say, where your map is and where, you know, all your stuff that you have going on, everything is up there that you're doing or that is being done to you. Let's say you've poisoned, somebody's poisoned you,
right,
or you're wearing a ninja costume. It shows you up there exactly how long these effects are going to take place on you, and it's counting it down. So you can watch it.
So you can watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was really, it was a lot better than I expected it to be gameplay-wise.
Good.
The combat was good. It was challenging to do some things. It really was a great immersive learning experience. So where do I go from here?
That was my question for you.
I figured you were going to ask.
What are you planning on doing about this?
Okay, here's the plan.
Okay.
I think I would like to continue to play World of Warcraft. Okay. Now, I'm not going to be one of these World of Warcraft heads where all they do is play World of Warcraft. And I'm not shitting on anybody for playing World of Warcraft a lot. You do what you want to do. I play Star Wars all the time.
Sure.
Of course, I figured out a way to play Star Wars without actually playing Star Wars.
Obviously but get a fan.
That's that. Right. Exactly. So I would like to play World of Warcraft, keep my character going. But that's the rub right there. I want my character. My character is currently on another person's server. So the question is, am I going to be able to get my character to my own account in order to continue playing?
Well, isn't
that
character stored on a server? So you should be able to load the game up, access your account.
But
it's not his account that he was playing with.
Exactly. That's the thing. I will have to open my own account. And then the question is, can I get my character to my account?
I've got to think that a lot of people get turned onto World of Warcraft via their friends and via friends' accounts, and they probably have a way to do that for you.
I hope.
We should come back next week after a call to tech support and find out what they say.
Yeah. Right.
I'd be interested that's what to we're know. But I would imagine that they anticipate something like this, and probably you can do something.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but this World of Warcraft thing, it's pretty big.
Oh, God. Thanks, Kev.
Did you know about this?
Thanks,
World
sir.
Of Warcraft number one, written by Walt Simonson.
Yes, we've talked about this.
Art by Ludo Lullaby? And Sandra Hope, coming out from Wildstorm. That's coming out.
DC Direct World of Warcraft Figure Series 1 came out this week, too.
That's true. Well, they had four of them. There was a dwarf. And
chick.
An ogre, and a chick, and a dude.
Exactly.
They looked really nice. Now, granted, I don't think the figures, they're really great. Don't get me wrong. Let's not get me wrong here. I don't think they really represent how those things sort of look in the game, though. I think they're far more detailed than the things in the game. Mm-hmm. Oh, one of the greatest things I forgot to tell you. Looking on your iPod right now, you're going to see a picture of the Headless Horseman.
Okay.
Who is a Halloween event that what happens is every so many hours, and they have this thing, I think it's centralized time based on, it's standard time based on the central time zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you go up to these certain spots in certain towns and villages, there'll be a woman standing with a bunch of kids, and they have masks on like they're going to be trick-or-treating, and they're just like having fun, hanging out. You go and talk to the woman, and she says, oh, the Headless Horseman supposedly is going to be here in 3 hours or 2 hours, or if you're there, 50 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever he's going to be. But he makes an appearance like two or three times a day. Right. And depending on what level you are, like these really high level characters can actually go to where he lives, quote, quote, and like kill him. And they get a broom, like a Nimbus 2000 broom.
Okay.
To ride on, like as a either a permanent vehicle or maybe it's only good while this particular Halloween promotion is going on or whatever. For the other people, though, like the low characters, he comes through the town, he starts lighting buildings on fire, and you go like Bucket Brigade and put the fires out. And if you're part of the putting the fires out thing and you go back afterwards, you get like stuff. You get
prizes.
Yeah, you get like, oh no, you get, what do you get? You get like this little pumpkin treat, and you eat the pumpkin treat, and it gives you like. Like it turns you, remember like I was saying about the costumes?
Yeah.
Things like that? Like I had a pumpkin treat and all of a sudden I grew huge and green.
Okay.
Like the Hulk. And they were really, it was really neat. And, but the best part is it's not something that happens, you know, like you have to be in a specific place and time yourself so you can be there. And then, so we're like bucketing the
houses.
The houses and things. And the the picture you're looking at right now of the horseman is kind of over my shoulder. When I turned around to face him after I took that screenshot, he dropped a flaming pumpkin jack-o'-lantern on my head, and my character's running around like all crazy.
Arms waving.
With a flaming pumpkin on his head for like a minute and a half. It was hysterically funny. I was laughing so hard I didn't screen cap it, or else you'd be looking at that now. But it was really, I thought that was really, I thought that was really clever and really, I mean, they are must be really involved in the development of this game. I mean, they have got it.
I think that's been
it.
Probably one of the strongest appeals mm-hmm. to the game all along.
Really, truly. Yeah. So I think I want to continue to play, but I don't want to go through having to build up my dude again. So I want to get my dude on my own account. If that can't happen, I would have to be like, maybe, you know, if I had some time that I could actually devote. Again, being mysteriously trapped in Albany for 4 or 5 days.
I'm your number one fan.
And playing Warcraft that entire time, you know.
Yeah, I've never heard of a spark plug just dislodging
itself
for no reason. Yeah,
exactly. Just magically comes loose and tears a head out as it pops out of the thing.
The cock-a-doodle car!
Well, I don't know.
So I guess my final word on this topic is... it's not what Star Wars Galaxies was. Nothing will ever be. But if we don't at least give it a chance, then, you know, we'll never really know.
You give it a chance, sir. You give it a chance.
You're not going to do it, are you?
No.
I like your message of tolerance, though, and you're willing to experiment.
Well, I was.
He was forced.
Let's be honest.
He
I was
drugged.
Forced.
He had the blue soda.
I'm your number one fan.
That's it. I was absolutely placed in a chair and said, "Hey, just and then it was 4 days later." And I had a 16th level Draenei character with all sorts of cool shit, and oh, I have like a gun, dude. I have a gun.
Okay.
And I'm shooting, and the guy, it's like a blunderbuss, like a rifle, and he spins it like ash when he loads it. It's like.
I'm not laughing at the fact that you have a gun that I buy. I'm laughing just because your face, I haven't seen like that. You don't get
it's
happy
so
about
excited.
Anything. Look
I know.
At him. It's like he
crazy.
Just discovered this. I'm
I
glad
did.
That it validates that how good World of Warcraft is. And World of Warcraft is one of those games I told you has a very universal appeal and goes to geeks of all levels, people who consider themselves to be non-geeks, people who would never, ever have touched Dungeons & Dragons in the past are basically playing Dungeons & Dragons online. I'm very glad that you've tried this.
I'm telling you. And you know what else, too, I loved about it? Is the fact that there was a whole mess of people playing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that was
really
cool.
There is a lot of people that play.
So I think that's my final word. I hope maybe you'll change your mind. I'm just saying. All right, then
let's take a break.
End the segment, come back with the wrap-up.
Let's.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds. NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at NERDZRule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Revenge of the Nerds. forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, this is Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your huckleberry.
We are back. Episode 80, Misery. Let's do the wrap-up, sir.
Okay.
Superman movies. Let's hope there isn't another one.
It certainly doesn't seem like it's going to be, at least with the crew that did the last one.
Certainly not. Or Mark Millar, apparently.
Maybe,
so,
maybe Brett Ratner is available.
Yeah. The superhero killer. Nick Cassavetes. Looks like he is the first in the rumor mill for the Captain America film. He may direct this movie. God only knows at this point in time.
Kelly Jones with a pair of Batman projects coming up. Gotham After Midnight with Cal McDonald. And the Doug Munch series that is unnamed and undetermined lengthwise. Kelly Jones, great artist.
Ron Howard and Tom Hanks moving forward rapidly with Angels and Demons, the original prequel, but now going to be a sequel to the Da Vinci Code. And get the Vudu if you want to have 250 gigs worth of movies to play on your television and download new content. It's over 100 hours of standard format movies.
Warner Brothers Home Video Director Series Stanley Kubrick Box Set. Something we didn't mention earlier is that some of, if not all of these films, I think are going to be made available individually.
Okay.
But it's Stanley Kubrick. You're going to want the whole box set. You really are. Contains 2001 A Space Odyssey, A Clockwork Orange, The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, Eyes Wide Shut, and Stanley Kubrick A Life in Pictures, documentary about Stanley Kubrick. All of them feature new footage, special features, two disc sets. All of them are excellent. Three of them are absolute must-haves in your collection. Full Metal Jacket is an absolute must-have if you like good films. And Eyes Wide Shut apparently has more nudity and sex in this version than in previous versions. So that's makes it attractive there.
Right. What else came out this week?
On DVD, we also had The Robinsons from Disney.
Right.
Which was their computer non-Pixar
film.
Film?
Second one after
Second
Chicken
one.
Little.
Right. Chicken Little was good. Aquaman, the complete adventures of the complete collection.
Right.
Of the 68 Aquaman cartoon series. And the, what I think, I'm pretty sure I'm right, the last superpowers or superheroes, super friends cartoon, superpowers team Galactic Guardians featured Cyborg. From Teen Titans, and Adam West as Batman, and Casey Kasem as Robin, and Frank Welker, the original Megatron, as Darkseid.
And from there, we went into World of Warcraft. I've never seen Big Kev so excited about anything.
Okay, it's not that I'm excited about it. It's that I had a good experience where I expected to have a bad one.
So, for those of you who play already, Big Kev may be joining your group. For those of you who have never played before, now you have some stuff to look forward to and know a little bit more about the game mechanics if you only listen to this show and have no other experience outside the realm of this show.
My character's name is Blue Devil, B-L-U-E-D-E-V-I-L-L, two L's at the end. That's how I got it, because someone else had Blue Devil. And it's on the, begins with a K, Kindiri or Kinolana or
server
KI something. I'll tell you next week if I actually have that character on that server next week. But if you have a character that's on the server, why don't you send a brother some money through the mail? You can do that. They have a mail system.
There you go.
Mentioned. So that's
that was it. That was the whole show.
That was the whole show.
You could check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can check us out on MySpace. Don't forget, we still have our Alpha Graphics of Montclair sponsored iPod contest going on.
Yes,
we do. WePrintFast.com for more information on that.
Right.
You can enter the contest by clicking on the banner on our website. You have another couple days to get in on this second round of the contest. So submit your entries post-haste.
Immediamente.
Right.
I think it's November 1st that this one closes.
That would be Thursday. Yes, November 1st.
Right. So November 1st. This one closes, and you want to get in now. Get in now.
In now.
So go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, click on the banner, fill out the information, and qualify yourself to win one of these iPods.
All right. I'm out of here.
Are you?
Florida.
No, you're not. You're going to the Medi Center to get your eye drained.
Well, there's that, but I'm going to Florida after that.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Episode 80, Misery? And before you do, I just want to give a quick shout out to Mariah, Tim, and Brian. Thanks so much for your hospitality, your warmth, your care, and your forcing me to play that game. Fantastic? Something?
No.
And on that note, we cue the music.
I crashed in the jungle while trying to keep a date with my little girl who was back in the States. I was stranded in the jungle, afraid and alone, trying to figure a way to get a message back home. But I was out of know that the wreckage of my plane had been picked up and spotted in my girl in Lover's Lane. And meanwhile, back in the States.
Baby, baby, let me promise. You know your old-time lover hasn't got a chance. He's stranded in the jungle, glad as he can be. So come on, pretty baby, just you and me.
And meanwhile, back in the jungle. Boys in the jungle had me on the run when something heavy hit me like an atomic bomb. When I woke up and my head started to clear, I had a strange feeling I was with cooking gear. I smelled something cooking and I looked to see. That's when I found out they was cooking me.
Great! Cooking booger! Let me out of here!
And meanwhile, back in the States. Meanwhile, back in the jungle. I jumped out the pot and I finally got away, frantic and worried about what my baby was saying. So I jumped in the ocean and started to swim, for my chance of survival was getting mighty slim. So I thumbed down a whale who was in my way, and I reached the States in about a half a day. When I got to Lover's Lane, I was almost dead, but my soul was gone, and here's what I said.
Baby, baby, the man is no good. Oh, baby, baby, you should have understood. You can trust me as long as you please, so come back pretty, baby, where you. 'Cause I love you.